Blog Talk Radio.
Mind Shift Radio.
Another edition of Mind Shift Talk Radio. I'm your host, Stacey Emery, joining you from Atlanta. Always excited to be here with my phenomenal co-host, the natural Zen diva, Dr. Ayo Kedar, and our man of the hour, normally Mr. Billy Miller, the motivational minister, is off tonight. And he has the night off because this is strictly about the ladies tonight. We are having girl talk. We are letting our hair down. We are just really just chatting it up tonight. And for those of you that may have missed the show last week, we had a discussion about that dreaded D word, divorce. And we talked about, we had our favorite couple, we call them our mind shift couple, Chris and Summer Creighton on the line with us, just discussing marriage and some of the things that are required in marriage, and especially the role of a husband and a wife in marriage. So we've had them on the show before. If you missed it, we definitely encourage you to go back and listen to it. You can listen to it right there at mindshifttalkradio.com. So with that being said, we had that discussion, and, you know, I always have these questions about preparing for marriage and what it takes and so forth. And, you know, Dr. Ayo is the married one of us in this couple. She's the married one, and I'm not. So we just started to talk about it, and we're like, you know, it really would be great to have a discussion for the ladies, and eventually we will have one for the men as well, because at the end of that show, oh, my goodness, one of our callers called in. It was a male from Atlanta. And he had some questions that was just like, I just got the conversation really going, and we couldn't go there. So we'll definitely have a show for the gentlemen next month. But for tonight, like I said, this hour is for the ladies. We are having girl talk. And we're going to have a roundtable discussion. Now, we have quite a few women on the line with us. And we have two married women. We have two single women. And we have a divorced woman. We actually have one and a half. I'm going to say one and a half because one is divorced and another one is divorced but now single. So you guys will see how that all plays into it. But we wanted to make sure we had different people sharing different perspectives so we can cover every dynamic of the spectrum in terms of the conversations that we're going to be having tonight. Now, for those of you that are listening, if you have any questions, any comments, any concerns, we definitely encourage you to call in. You can reach us at area code 347-989-0206. Also, feel free to join us in the chat room as well. The chat room is open. So if you don't feel comfortable calling in, go ahead and type your question. We're more than welcome to that as well. So welcome to the ladies. Now I'm going to go ahead and just give you a run through of the women that we have on the line. I'll mention everyone first and then welcome you ladies to the show. But we have Pam, who has been married for 11 years with two children. And then we have Sabrina, also married for 11 years with two children. We have Danielle that is divorced with one child. We have Missy that is single, never been married, but also has one child. And we have Deidre. She's our divorcee, soon to be married again. So now you can see these are all the women we have. Ladies, thank you for joining us tonight. We welcome you to Mind Shift Talk Radio. Dr. Ayo, what do you want to say before we get started with this conversation? Because I know you have something to say.
Too funny. Well, I just definitely want to thank all the ladies for coming on tonight. As always, I know it's going to be a really phenomenal show to get all the different perspectives that we have on the line. Lovely ladies that are on the line. So I know it's going to be an interesting conversation. We've got a lot of listeners tuning in. You know, women in various situations like the panelists that are on tonight. So I'm just ready to let's go.
Let's do it. All right, ladies, no holds barred. We are going to have open and honest conversation. Again, this is Mind Shift Talk Radio. For those of you that have never listened to the show, This show is all about discussing real topics that affect real people, healthy conversations, sharing different perspectives, but really just to help you. At the end of the day, it is to help you have that mind shift that is necessary for you to evolve and for you to transform on every level. So that's what the purpose of Mind Shift Talk Radio is. We want to just put that out there. So the topics tonight, now we have a whole list of topics, and I know we're not going to be able to cover all of them. So Io and I were going back and forth talking about these topics, and we were trying to prioritize, and, you know, we just like, okay, let's get these first. So I'm going to tell you guys what the topics are, and then we're going to get started, okay? And then also we're looking for, there's going to be a good twist to this because Sabrina is actually a licensed associate professional counselor. So now we got the little psychologist piece in there as well. So this is going to be cool. But anyway, all right, so here's our topic for tonight, ladies. We're going to discuss spirituality. And in terms of spirituality, we're going to talk about growth, evolving, and transformation. We're going to talk about flaws and all. The next topic is the first-year blues, also the seven-year itch. And we're going to talk about been there, done that, and doing it again. Okay? So those are our topics for tonight. Now, the first one that we're going to discuss, and this is the one that we really want to talk about, was flaws and all. Now, with flaws and all, that's talking about in marriage, we know that we all have flaws. We know that our partners will have flaws as well. But for many people, many of us go into relationship as well as marriage thinking that, you know, their mate is prime meat, basically, and doesn't have any issues. And so, Pam, you and I were talking about this today, and we were saying basically that in order for the relationship to even have a chance, if you're going into it with some flaws, you better expect your mate to at least have twice as many flaws. Because if you go into it with that expectation, then it's easier for you to embrace them, especially when you go through those challenging times. So I want to hear from Pam, and I also want to hear from Sabrina first, because with you guys being the two married women on the line, I want you to talk to us about flaws and all and how important that is as far as your marriage.
Okay. Sabrina, do you want to go first? Or
you can go first.
Okay. This definitely hits home with me because, you know, those flaws can be, you know, your own personal flaws as well as even that baggage that you kind of come along with, like family, who can create some problems. in your relationship or even just, you know, your interaction with them. So like you said, Stacey, you know, you have to realize, one, I think if we're honest with ourselves, you know, and realize, you know, I may have a few issues. I may have, you know, some background that might cause me to, you know, possibly react, you know, in a negative way when there's a disagreement or something like that. Then you're already on, you know, the right step. But if you haven't even acknowledged that you have some issues, then you know, it's gonna be an even bigger problem.
Yeah, right. I agree. Everybody has flaws in within themselves and within their marriage and within their relationships and life in general because we're all human. But the thing is to know what your flaws are, to be very open and honest about, look, dude, now you know I catch an attitude when this happens, or you know I may be passive-aggressive sometimes. You know, you have to be honest and open and share what your flaws are before you walk down that road because somebody might reveal a flaw that you find out later that that's something you can't deal with. And then you're trying to wonder, like, well, okay, why don't this person's getting on my nerves to the point I don't even want to be with them no more. Well, you didn't really take time to know that person. That goes on with the building relationship and friendship first. You have to do that first because when you are friends with somebody, you obviously know, like, oh, yeah, my girlfriend, she talks too much. She always talks. That's all she does. You see what I'm saying? You know what their flaws are, and you accept them for who they are because you have flaws too. So it would be totally unfair for you not to accept somebody else's flaws when you have your own. So it's very important to be open and honest beforehand about what your flaws are, but not only to acknowledge them, but to work to do something about them.
Right, right.
You know, so every month or every 3 months or every 6 months, you put, this is my flaw. You know, your partner would say, well, you know, you've been really lazy. lately. I really wish you would help me out more with the kids. Or you work too much. I really wish you would stay home more. You put it in the box every couple of months. You pick something out the box, and you guys work on your own personal issues that the other one realizes that you need to work on. Because recognizing them and not doing nothing about it is not enough. You really need to work on it. Just because that's the way you are, we are always trying to improve. So if you're an a-hole 24/7, you can work on being an a-hole only 12 hours a day. You see what I'm saying? You still have a little a-hole in you because that's your personality, but there's a way that you can learn how to control that so that it doesn't manifest in your personality all the time.
Right. And that comes to, and I'm not sure if I'm repeating, but like you said, not just, in part of acknowledging your flaws, you have to be you. You can't be, we all know somebody, have a girlfriend that we know how she is normally, but when we see her with this boyfriend, with a boyfriend, then it's like, that's not how Veronica acts. What is she doing? these women that put up an act in order, I think, to keep a man or to get the man, and then you end up in a situation where this man has married a completely different woman. But once you're married, you feel like, woo, I can let it go. So not only did you hid yourself, so then he didn't even have a chance to figure out what was wrong with you, and to decide if he really wanted to deal with it.
Right. Isn't that fair for him to at least be able to make his own decision based on the truth, on who you really are? Because I know for us, we don't like being deceived. I mean, we say it all the time, it's not cool being bamboozled, thinking that you're getting one thing and then you're getting something else. I don't want to feel bamboozled. But we do it, and I'm not guilty of this. I'm just going to put that out there before I say it.
You got a disclaimer on there. Disclaimer.
But no, there are some females, for example, cooking. Okay, you guys know, for some of you who know, that I'm working on the whole cooking thing. Deidre knows this. I don't know this. But I know of women that will sit there and buy a meal and pretend that they prepared this meal, right? And invite a dude over for dinner. And then it's time when you get an actual relationship, you're like, well, baby, can you cook something? What are you going to do? You know what I mean? It's like, why would you even put yourself in that situation?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you.
That is too funny. I mean, I think that the flaws and all is definitely goes in line with being true to yourself. Before you can start any relationship, you need to first and foremost know who you are, what you like, what your belief system is. So you have to be true to yourself first before you can even think about adding somebody else to the equation, So that I am definitely, y'all know, I probably keep it a little bit too real. And my husband could tell you when we were, because we were definitely friends first, and he could tell you some of the stuff that I did in front of him. Looking back, I'm like, yeah, I probably was a little nasty because I just didn't care. It was like, you're my friend, so I'm just going to be myself. And I would literally, whatever I wanted to say, it would come out my mouth. It was like, but he knew who he was getting, So loving me in spite of me is number one.
Yes, that is so funny that you said that because Chris and I were we always talk about that. He's like, oh, my gosh, you are so gross. But it's so cool to be able to be myself. I know there's some things I say that are probably out of pocket, why did you say that? But you're just, isn't that supposed to be the safe place? Isn't that supposed to, your relationship should be that safe place where you can just totally be yourself. If I want to talk about bodily fluids or, anything, I should be able to do it. Now, I know some things are, a little over the top, but for the most part, I think that says a lot about the relationship. When you can sit there and just have conversation and not be like, oh, my God, can I say this? Because I know I've personally been in a relationship where I've felt like I've had to walk around on eggshells. I couldn't say certain things because I don't know how that person's going to take it. So obviously that's not the healthiest relationship.
Right. Because you're supposed to, the whole idea of marriage is supposed to be, the initial premise. You're supposed to be together, till death do you part. So that's a long time potentially to be pretending to be something else.
And a lot of things change, ladies. A lot of things change on our bodies that we're like, oh, okay. Already, where's that body magic at?
Everybody, yes. You got to pull out all your ammo. Hey, but it is what it is. But it's the same thing for them as well. I mean, you know, men go through some major changes as well. And we have to be prepared for that, because you cannot expect your husband to be, or your boyfriend or husband to be looking like Fabio forever or whoever. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know where I came up with Fabio, but you can't expect that forever. But, you know,
yes, I just want to say,
one thing you said, Sabrina, when you talked about, I'm sorry, listen, when you talked about pulling things out the box and talking about it on a monthly basis, I'm a little afraid of that one, though.
Why? What are you afraid of?
Isn't it kind of like rehashing the same thing over and over? If you've already talked about it last month in November, why are we talking about it again in December?
Again.
Because it's different things you put in the box. You don't put the same issue. And then if the same issue keeps coming up, then guess what? You didn't work on what you needed to work on, because for whatever reason, maybe you were stubborn, maybe you got your feelings hurt because he didn't say something to you, and he was brutally honest, what we want our men to do, but yet we can't handle the truth. So in putting something in the box, you have to understand, you have to trust that relationship. This person loves me, this person wants the best for me, and I do respect their opinion. When that something comes out the box, if you're like, there's no way I'm changing this. I'm an open-minded person. You know, I'm not going to be quiet. You know, if you're outspoken and the person wants you to shut up, then that's a whole different issue. But if he wants you to be more of a lady around his family, then that's something you might want to take in consideration. So you discuss it when it comes out. Is this something that I can really do? And if you look at it and say, you know what, I really can't change this. This is defeats the whole core of my body and my soul. I cannot do this, and I am not comfortable with doing that. Then you share that at that moment, and then you put something else in there that you are comfortable with working on. Or that he's comfortable with working on, because it could be something he's like, no, babe, I'm sorry. I like my love handles. I like this, right, this jiggle. I like this. You know, and you're like, no, baby, I want you to get this six-pack. And he's like, uh-uh, that ain't happening. So then you put something else in the box, and it goes from there.
I agree with you to a certain extent with what you just said as far as putting stuff in a box. You know, when taking it out and talking about it. I just got out of a relationship, and about 4 years. And
okay, were you married in the relationship for years,
or
were you dating?
No, I never married. We were dating, and our issue was, you know, everything was good, but it's like, I guess it was like this time where, you know, this is like our trials and tribulation time of a relationship. We never really had like big arguments or anything until just recently. And it was basically because his attitude has changed. Different people he started hanging with, you know what I'm saying, changed. You know, I addressed it the sweetest way I could. I done talked to his mother and grandmother, and, you know, they're old school. So they, sometimes you can't just holler and, you know, y'all have to talk things out. And, you know, but sometimes that, you know, for me, it just didn't work. But as far as, like, if he brings something to you and you want to change, and, you know, sometimes you can change but so much about yourself, but it's up to the other person, too. You know what I'm saying? You can't always mold yourself, you know what I'm saying, to be somebody that they want you to be. Sometimes, you know what I'm saying, it's a 50-50 type thing. He has to always be willing to do the same as well. And see, that was like our problem right there. You know, he wanted me to change, you know, some flaws about me, which, okay, I can do that. But also, are you going to change some things I don't like about you? And to his attitude was, what you see is what you get. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't know what's going on with you, but I'm gonna give you your space and let you figure that out.
Could I address this? Okay. I think definitely it should be 50-50. So here's the thing. We're not saying that as a woman we need to become this woman that man wants us to be, because we're going to be who we are, and they're going to be who they are. So the problem may have come in that he turned out not to be the man that you really wanted.
And you weren't necessarily the woman that he really wanted. Because some of the flaws that other people think are flaws are just who we are, like Sabrina was saying. Some of that is just, you know, who we are. I talk, here, an example. I'm a bit of a control freak. I got a little OCD. I can't really change that about me. I can acknowledge it, you know, recognize that I have the problem and try to, you know, try to work on what I can, but it's still going to be there. So, in essence, if my husband has a problem with that part of me, it's never going to change. I can work on what I can, but that's me, you know? So, if that's a big part, you know, a big problem for him, it's just not going to work out for us. You know, that's how that goes. So, don't try and do too much changing, because that person is, remember, who they are. And even when we talk about changing to a certain degree, Stacey and I talked about this a little bit, you know, and Sabrina mentioned we change, our bodies change, our minds change, our bodies change. Let's just keep it real. They change. It changes. our body doesn't, our mind, though, doesn't necessarily change. I think we evolve into, just we evolve as a person. Because, again, who we are is who we are. It's just sometimes we haven't fully realized certain things about us, and then they come up later in life. So those are, again, the other things that people have to be willing to expose. So, you know, don't beat yourself up too much over that. It's just, you know, now you know more about that relationship, helps you learn more about what you needed in a man, and he wasn't it.
I learned. You know, I never, you know, sit and moan over anything. You know, I take the good with the bad, you know. And right. I learn from everything, you know. I also can know what to look for. It's like a lot of little things, you know, you overlook and you don't see it until it's too late. So now my eyes are more open and aware of more things that I should be looking for, like the little things I overlook. Like I feel like this. The type of people you hang around, it says a lot about you. You know, even though you may be the good person out of the group, but you hanging around these people for a reason. Either you got the same some kind of interest y'all have. And that was one of the things that, you know, I definitely overlooked was the crowd and how they treat they women.
I'll ask all of you guys this, because that goes into the next question. Then what do you do when you guys are both growing at two different paces, I guess, when you don't grow at the same time, when you're on one page and the other person's on another page? How do you handle that in relationship? You're not evolving at the same pace.
Well, what I was going to tell the young lady that was just speaking, this is Deidre, I was going to tell her that, you know, hopefully as women or as people that we learn from our mistakes, and I hope that she has, and even, you know, her friends or girlfriends learns from that relationship, so that way when she goes into her next relationship, it won't take her 4 years of her valuable time, because she has to realize that her time in this life is valuable.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody should be given that much time of her time to determine whether or not he wants to be her man for the rest of their life. Maybe you gave too much of yourself or too much to him as a boyfriend. Then, you know, maybe if after that one, we learn from it so that it doesn't take her 4 years for the next one. Maybe it'll just take her for a week or for a month to know what she is and is not going to put up with, what she is and what she is actually looking for in her husband and her mate.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I was asking a friend about that. I was like, well, how long do you think, you know, a person should, you know, if you're grown, You know, how long do you think, you know what I'm saying, you should be dating in order for you to feel like, okay, well, this person should be my wife. I was talking to a male, and he was like, well, it depends on the person. And I was like, okay, well, say if you feel like you met the right person, how long are you going to keep stringing this female along? Well, he was saying 5 years. And I was like, why 5 years? I was like, that's like a little too long.
But,
you know, the sad thing is there are some women that will wait around 5 years. And again, that goes back to us. You know, what are you willing to accept? What are you willing to deal with?
Mm-hmm.
And are you ready, even going into that relationship, what are you willing to put on the table? And what are you expecting? You know, you have to know what your own value is. You have to know your own worth. So going into that relationship, and I've been there on those long-term relationships, so I understand exactly what it is going into something, and you're not quite ready. You probably shouldn't even be there anyway in the first place. You should never even say hello.
That's
but we do. You know, and it could be because we're lonely or whatever it is. We think we're getting older. Who knows? But even for, like, Pam and Sabrina and Deidre, how long were you guys dating before you got married?
Pam and I, we've been with our husband since we were 16.
Yeah,
so we've been with our husband 17 or 18
that.
Years now, but we've been married for 11. But we've been with him for, like, 17 years. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And so our situation is a little
different.
Since we knew them for so long, my husband didn't become my boyfriend until my senior year in high school. Then we had a little shaky time my freshman year in college because, you know, I was feeling myself because I was getting a whole lot of attention. But I think because of my family background, too, I knew early what I wanted in a mate. I knew what I was not going to accept. So that period didn't really last. That shaky period didn't last too long. And then we were married. He proposed to me on my 21st birthday. Now, had I been an adult, you know, a for real adult, like I was at 29 when I hit my epiphany moment, like, hold on, you know, I know who I am type of adult. You meet someone, right? They're attracted to you because that's the first thing you look at. You know, we got to be honest. They need to be good on the eyes. Then, as an adult, you know, you're going to go out, you're going to talk. Hopefully you're being honest with each other, you know, while you're talking. And, I mean, really and truthfully, I don't see dating needing to take longer than a year before you get married if you're a for real adult. I don't see it because, let's be honest, in your, you know, past relationships now, you might have been moving in with somebody after a year. That's because you knew them. So now it's time to make a commitment. If you make a commitment within a year, 2 years top, you know, because I understand sometimes we have some financial, you know, obligations we're trying to meet. But even that becomes an excuse. You know, these men are talking about, well, I want to be able to give you everything before I do this. Well, you can't give me everything. That's just not possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, they start making excuses no longer than 2 years.
Was the first question kind of like, you know, how long does it take? Stacey, did you just ask about how long it takes? Well, you know, my mom and dad have a 40-year relationship, and we talked about it before. And my father gives very good information about marriages and what it takes. And he told a couple of us girls sitting around at the house, he said, a man knows what bucket you're going in within 3 to 6 months. I believe exactly what she's saying. After those 6 months, he's ready to put you in that bucket.
Mm-hmm.
So within 3 to 6 months of you dating, actively dating, spending time, hanging out, even when you start introducing people to your family, after 3 to 6 months, they know what bucket you're going in. After 6 months, you're in that bucket. You may not even know what bucket you're in. You're just going to be my homie lover friend. You're going to be my friend with benefits, or you're going to be my lady. Or you're going to be my wifey. They know what bucket you're going to be in between 3 to 9 months, and that's where you are. There's not much that you can do to change where you're going to be besides you stepping outside and said, I'll make this decision for you. I'm not going to be your homie level friend for 5 years. That's not who I am.
Right.
So you have to make that decision as to where you want to be. You have to be, like she said, you have to be the adult, the grown-up, and make your decision and know, I am too valuable to be your homie level friend for 5 years. Are you crazy or am I crazy?
Okay, I'm like, okay, I'm listening to you guys, and I'm like, whoa, because this is Io, and the reason I'm like, whoa, is because I'm like, yo, if I was a dude, and you coming at me with, like, a time limit of when I'm supposed to be ready, I'm like, yo, that's not going to work. You know, I think a lot of the times people, there's such a stigma in our society that we have timetables on everything in our lives. At age 18, you should do this. At 16, you need to do this. At 21, you need to do this. At 25, you need to do this. We have these timelines set for us that we have not set for ourselves. And I strongly urge everyone listening to kind of take pace on set your own timeline, because it's different for all of us. You know, what's marriage to me might not be marriage to you. When I give my heart to you, I can say that I'm married. When I gave my heart to my husband, I was married to him before we ever put anything on paper. So it depends on what your value system is. And I strongly encourage everyone you have to set those boundaries for yourself. Don't feel that because of your friends and family and pressure from society that by this time you should have this a certain way in your relationship. If you're happy and that person is treating you well and you guys have an understanding, you guys are communicating, there's love, you know, to me that's more important than, okay, it's been 5 years, tick-tock. You know, so I think a lot of women, we feel so pressured because of everything that's put on us that by this you got to do this. And I really encourage people to kind of back up and really make those decisions for yourself and get outside the box and into your own comfort zone, irregardless of what other people think for you.
I think it does depend on your spirituality, too, because some people are not comfortable being in a relationship for 5, 10, 15 years and willy-nillying all the time with no benefits, no permanent benefits. You can't put me on, your insurance at work. There's a problem with this. Or can we buy a home together? We have to stay in our apartment because we're not married, so we can't buy a home together. Or do we buy a home together? We're not married. Is that a smart decision? You know, am I sin? You know, it depends on what people's spirituality is, because some people, due to their spirituality, do want to get married, and they don't want to be in a relationship for 5 years. Some people, they're cool. Some people don't ever have to have it on paper, and they're in a they're considered married in their eyes.
Right. And
it does depend on what your spirituality and your comfort level there are, but I think most people do have a problem, or most women do have a problem with being in a relationship with a man for years and years and years and years, and they never get married. I mean,
they want some type of security
to know that when I get my behind home, you going to be there. You have some responsibility tied into me that this thing called marriage provides for us. And some women like that, some security. Some women don't need it. Some women don't care about it. But from most of the complaints that I have when I'm doing my therapy, these women, that's what they want. How come he won't marry me? What is it about me? I need to lose some weight. I need to do this. I need to do that. They constantly complain because they want that security of marriage. For whatever reason, it doesn't always mean that they're insecure. It means that's their goal they have for themselves, and they haven't met it because they're letting guys do whatever they want to do without setting healthy boundaries. You have to set healthy boundaries in relationship, and that's not meaning you put in an ultimatum for a man. You got 6 months to marry me or to tell me that you want to be with me forever. It's something that you kind of know. Women, we know when a man really want to be with us and when we're just his cuddy buddy.
Right. That's what I was going to clarify. That's why I was going to clarify that I don't just walk around and say, hey, dude, you're going to be with me 6 months after that. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not crazy enough to tell a man that. But, no, I'm saying my father just told me that men basically know. But I know what I'm also looking for in my mate, in my husband, in my future husband. I have to know that as a woman, what it is that's going to make me happy. What is he bringing to the table? What am I bringing to the table? What am I providing for us, for our family, for the mm-hmm. household, in order for us to be able to make it in the relationship for the rest of our lives?
I guess if I can I was thinking about the point of it being all about your personal growth. Like, everyone has their own idea and views about, yes, I want to get married, I'd love to get married, it's the whole fairy tale idea. But I think after we go through these ups and downs and ins and outs of relationships, it's all about, like you say, what you learn through all these things and how you're changing as a person, how you're growing to be able to get comfortable with yourself. And once you start being comfortable with yourself, then others are able to accept you and perhaps maybe want to put you in that bucket of wifey or put you in that bucket of whatever. But it all starts with yourself. You got to start letting go of what you think these other men are thinking of, what this guy wants you to be or what this guy is looking for your wife. It's about who do you want to be as a wife? Are you setting yourself up for success to be a wife? What are you doing in your personal life to prepare yourself to be that wife? Like, I was a wife. But I'm divorced now because I wasn't at that time ready to be a wife. I didn't know it, but neither one of us were playing the role as a husband or a wife. He was still playing games. I was still just trying to play pretend of what I thought a wife was supposed to be, but I didn't necessarily know. So it came time to be divorced and single again. Now it's time to, like, oh, wow, I'm sitting at home. I'm by myself. It's me and this son of mine. Who am I? You know, who is Danielle
right.
as a person? What do I know how to cook? Do I even want to get in the kitchen and cook? Do I care to go mop the floor in the middle of the night or pick up somebody's dirty drawers? Like, do I care to do these things?
Right.
Or do I just want to do me? Like, right now, I'm doing me. Yeah, I would love to get married. I want to have another child, but I'm not fortunate. Like I just said, I'm not going to put a time frame on somebody that I'm with. Well, when I met my husband, we were together for 6 months before he proposed to me 3 times in 6 months, and I was finally like, yeah, let's do it. So 6 months later, well, 8 months later, we're married, you know, and 5 years after that, we're divorced after a 3-year separation in between 5 years. So that whole marriage thing was just a game, but now I know who I am. I know I'm Danielle, strong, spiritual, good mom, teacher, a good worker in the community. I'm a good friend. I got my spiritual self together. So when that man is ready to find me because I'm not looking for him, then I'm going to be prepared. And it doesn't matter if it takes us 2 months and he says, let's get married, or if it's 5 years, let's get married. It's what you're comfortable with within yourself, not trying to please anybody. A real man wants a real woman who's confident about who she is and not trying to push him to do anything that he doesn't want to do. I don't want to push anybody to be my husband. It's not going to happen.
Right. No, you better preach, girl. You better preach in the word.
You also have to, I think in talking about, because the word marriage, because when Io started talking, it hit me and I was like, well, we're talking about marriage, how long we think it takes for, you know, a man to decide he wants to marry us. But really what we need to be focusing on is the committed relationship. Because marriage is a ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
But you're in a committed relationship. Because now in my journey, in my marriage, my husband and I don't even wear wedding rings. He lost his on our honeymoon while we were snorkeling. It somehow we didn't get it replaced until 5 years ago. And then he has a job now to where it's really a little dangerous for him to have jewelry on his fingers. My ring, took mine off because I lost a diamond in it. You know, I didn't want to lose the other diamonds. But I've also reached a point to where that ring means nothing. Just like that whole, we're married, we had a marriage ceremony, that means nothing. When you're ready to be in a committed relationship, I think is the thing. So that goes back to like what I think Deirdre was saying about her, about your father, right? I'm making sure I got everybody's names right. You know, what he was saying, you know, even not just a man knows, but women know. We know exactly when we have, again, when we're being honest with ourselves, we know when we've met someone that, you know what, I could be with him forever. He knows that too. We also know we can't be with that person forever, but yet and still sometimes we insist on trying to make something be what it's not. So I think that's the whole thing of, you know, when we're going to be, not just, the, you know, being married, because
I had a lot of people telling me, you'd be surprised. I have older women telling me at 21, girl, you're too young to get married. No, you need to go ahead and experience some other things.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So if I would have listened to those people, I would have missed out on my soulmate.
And marriages are, committed relationships are different for everybody. Everybody will define it differently. So it's however you and your mate decide to define it and the rules and regulations you guys decide to have in that. What's okay in your relationship and what's not okay. And you need to talk about that stuff prior to walking down the aisle, because some people are, well, babe, I thought it was, you know, I thought it was cool. I mean, you know. So you find out a lot of different things, but you have to be open and honest and define what it is you want. What's okay in your relationship? What's not okay? What are your goals? Like, we set goals for our careers. We set goals for our children. We want our children to have good grades, and we want them to do this. And what are the goals that you have for your marriage? You know, are your relationship? What type of things do you guys want to do? What kind of things do you guys not want to do? What are you willing to try? What are you not willing to try? So there's no surprises down the line. And then people say, no, they didn't change. You just never gave them a chance to tell you what they really wanted. Or maybe they didn't know what they wanted at that time.
Do you guys think there's such a thing as being too honest in a relationship?
Never.
No.
Never. Not if it's someone who loves you, because they may not like the truth, but they will respect it.
And if you don't like the truth, please run, because I don't need you. Really, like, you can accept my truth, and you're not the one that I want, because I'm going to give you way more truth than that if we're going to get married, and I don't want you running out the door while we got a mortgage, or I can't, because I got honest with you. That's crazy.
Here's the other thing, guys, because you guys touched on this a couple of times in the conversation. This was the next one. Obviously, we're not even going to get halfway through this list, but it's all good. But remember, the second piece that we were going to go through after flaws and all was spirituality, and you guys have been mentioning that. But we were talking about that whole growth process and how you evolve. And Sabrina had a great point in terms of what you're willing to take in a relationship, the expectations you have for yourself as well as for your mate and spirituality. But how important do you guys think spirituality is in relationships, especially marriage?
I think it's the number one important thing, because you guys have to be, in my eyes, and I know everybody is different, but in order for my marriage to be successful and for me to be happy in it, we need to be equally yoked.
Right.
We have to be equally yoked. He has to be my yin to my yang. His weaknesses have to be my strengths. My strengths have to be his weaknesses. We have to put God first in our lives, how God, the God of our understanding, and we have to be on the same page. The God of our understanding, not everybody else understands, but God, how we understand him to be, and we need to be on the same page with that, and he has to come first in our life, because if we don't put God first, nothing will follow through, nothing, in my the way that my relationship works. Some people don't have a spirituality. Some people are atheists or agnostic. They do different things, but for me,
but they need to
my,
do the same thing. Even if
they need to both be,
both doing,
you know,
right,
talking about
thing.
Hell to the Mother Earth. You know what I'm saying? So it has to be the same thing. You have to be equally yoked in order for something to survive. Because without God, without God, that's who I worship. Without God, nothing else will happen. You can't do nothing successful without him. That is your number one main important relationship. You got to have that relationship on lock before anything else happens.
And even she talked about, you know, our relationship with God, because it is the number one. I think our spirituality is, there's our spirituality and our sexuality. They're one. They are within us. It's like our DNA. You can't escape it. I may not call God Jesus, or, you know, I may call him Allah, but the thing is that there is, I know that God, you know, exists and is within me. So, like Sabrina was saying, if they don't believe that, you know, if your husband or your boyfriend, you know, does not believe in God, period, I mean, you just, that's, his inner being does not agree with your inner being, so it's just not going to match.
And you can't try to change it either. That's a big thing. Like, you have to know that you cannot. I never go into a relationship thinking I can change someone, you have to go into it accepting that person, like, as they are. And if that person isn't on your level spiritually, like, if you hook up with a guy and you're getting up early in the morning on Sunday and you're headed out to church and no Sunday for the whole time you've been together, has he ever cared nor asked to or went to somewhere himself, then don't expect you guys to hook up. You'd be like, come on, boo, I'm mad because you won't go to church with me. No, you can't be mad at me, boo. I never went to church with you. I never asked to go to church. It doesn't matter. So that means that he's not on your level spiritually. He may not get there, and I don't think it's your right to try to, like, force a man or anyone to get on your level spiritually. That person that you're meant to be with, he's going to be where God would have him to be in your life because God prepares that man for you. Hopefully, that's the one you want, the one that God prepared for you. And
right.
He's going to already be the leader, the head. He's going to know that I have to take her to the head of my household, which is God. So I'm going to take the woman that I love to the church. Hello, Lord. Here's my lady. Is she cool? You know, so is she okay for me and her to be together? And once you guys are blessed by that union of God and he sees you guys are spiritually on one path, then you guys can start working towards something else. But if you don't have that solid foundation, which is God, then it's not going to happen. It's not going to work out.
So I got a question for you guys since we're talking about spirituality. This is Misty. Do y'all think that two people who have two different spiritual backgrounds could be equally yoked?
Well, I think if there's a willingness of acceptance, then yes. I think it's more about
the core principles, because you can have different religions, but still, you know, well, we want to respect ourselves and our body. You know, there's different religions, but if you look at all the main ones, they have a lot of similarities. You know, so if the core foundations are roughly the same, well, okay, we respect ourselves. You know, my religion doesn't, you know, make me run down the street butt naked. You know what I'm saying? And yours, I have to be clothed and can't show my hair. You know, certain things like that. You have to kind of just make sure that the differences are something that you're willing to put up with. But two, being equally yoked is a traditionally Christian philosophy. So if you're not of Christian faith, other religions, if you're Hindu, it's totally different. So, you know, it just depends. Equally yoked is a term that I use because it's from my religion and what I believe in, from the God of my own understanding, but its spirituality is different and unique for everybody. So equally yoked is depends on what that person's background is, what they believe in.
Right. It's about being in the same, I guess, frame of thinking to a certain degree. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but you know, because just to say that they need to be equally yoked, yes, like Sabrina said, that's equated to Christianity. But, you know, let's look at, you have Jewish, which is, they are cousins, and Christians that get married, and they're married forever. You know, it's not the same, but it's similar. So, therefore,
we have evangelist,
you know, I guess
Tony
it works
in the, I'm sorry, Pam, we have Evangelist Tony in the chat room. Evangelist Tony and Sugar Hill and Nelly O3 are all in the chat room talking about this. And there was a comment made. Evangelist Tony said that Muslims and Christians don't mix well in marriage. And Sugar Hill said, you know, she agrees with that because she was married to a Muslim or she was in a relationship with a Muslim, and that ended, basically. So I hear what Sabrina's saying as far as long as everyone accepts each other's differences, even in terms of spirituality and religion, that they'll be okay. But at the end of the day, I still think it waters down that key aspect of your relationship if two people are worshiping differently. And I know I've heard tons of stories I've heard tons of success stories, and I do believe there are some success stories out there. But again, it goes back to the individual. What are you willing to compromise? Because it sounds like there's going to be some compromise there, as well as what you're willing to accept. And for some of us, you know, for some people in terms of spirituality, there is no compromise. I'm not going to compromise at all. You know, some of us feel that way. Some people say, well, I can bend a little bit here. But my concern with that is also for all of you ladies that are on the line, everyone here on the show has children. Now, how does that affect children? How does that go into child rearing? How does that go into you raising your children if we're not believing the same thing? How do we set that framework for our children?
It does create problems in relationships, definitely in therapy. I can tell you they come in there fussing and fighting. And you would think they didn't worship anything the way they cut up. But it's always over, well, I want to go to this, you know, Christmas program. Well, I want to go to the mosque. And my child, we're not going to have a Christmas tree because that's blah, 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 blah. And then so it does cause lots of problems in relationships, but it depends on their level of spirituality. There are some Christians but are not devout Christians, go to church every Sunday and all that stuff. So they're willing to bend a little. Some people are willing to bend a little, some people are not. So those who can bend a little in their spirituality, whether they should or not, that's a whole different issue. But those who can bend in their spirituality, if they come from different backgrounds, tend to be more successful in relationships, especially when it comes to child rearing.
And that lends off into a whole nother topic because, you know, it'll go into spirituality is just, you know, it's just one of those buttons because, I consider myself a Christian right now because there's just no other word that I can put to it. But a lot of the symbols and rituals that I grew up with, being associated that I grew up associated with Christianity and it's still associated Christianity is not important to me anymore. Has
right.
nothing to do with my relationship
right.
with God.
Right.
So, if you know my spouse happened to not agree with the things you know that or I don't agree with, he may need to go to that church and stand up and you know. Read all the chants or, you know, whatever, the whole ritual of the church and, like, need it. I don't need that. So if he needs that, that's fine. You know, it's not, it doesn't impair, though, my relationship with God and both of our relationships with God. You get what I'm saying? I think it just comes down to the fundamentalism, which I guess is why Muslim and Christian don't mix well because the Muslim religion is very fundamentalist, you know, very traditionalist, and we got a whole lot of Christians that are about the same. So we're clashing on symbols and ideals versus God himself.
And titles, definitely. Like, I don't believe, like, right now I could call myself a Christian or what have you. I mean, I grew up in a Baptist church with the whole people getting the Holy Ghost all over the church and saying our creeds and doing our Lord's Supper on the first Sunday. Well, it all boils down to it as I grow and figure out who I am. I just call myself spiritual now. I know that God, I believe in God, the Father and the Son, and my son believes in the same thing. But as far as I'm going to say I'm a Christian or I'm this or I'm that, I'm not sure, like, because the lines of Christianity are blurred so far across the board. I mean, you can never figure out which part of a Christian you're supposed to be. So right now it's just all about just being spiritual and connecting that you know that there is a God. And when it gets down to being in a relationship with somebody, I just expect for that somebody that I'm with to recognize that there's one God. I'm not really too fond of, if you call it, Jehovah, if you call him Allah. God's been called by many names across the board, but as long as we know whom we're talking about, then it's okay, you know, with me. And I don't think we really have to break it down to whether you're Muslim or you're this or you're that. There has to be a part where you just agree to disagree and know that God is just this God who takes care of all of us, and your children should know the same. And then it's up to them to grow and follow your path and how your heart is and see what type of person you are to know who they're going to be or what they're going to consider themselves. But I'm not going to be like, hey, Malachi, you're a Christian. I'm like, Malachi, you love God, and whatever at the end of the day you want to call yourself, then baby, that's fine with mom. That's how I feel about it.
I will say this.
Like,
as my husband and I, as we grow spiritually and we read the Bible for ourselves, like now we read the Bible to our kids and we, you know, we have our own Bible study at home. We read it ourselves. We're like, wow, I never knew that was in there. They left that out in that Ten Commandments story. But anyway, as we grow closer to God and our relationship gets stronger with God, as we understand him, our relationship and our marriage gets better.
Amen.
I don't know how to explain it, but I'm just telling you, as we grow closer to God, our relationship gets better and better because we grow as a person and we get better. We learn how to deal with each other better. We communicate with each other better. Our state of mind is better. So
I have to agree with you on that, Sabrina. And, again, it's going to be different for everyone, so we encourage everyone to have an open mind when you listen to this conversation. But I do agree with that because even in my relationship now, and I've talked about this, and Deidre and I have had this conversation as well in terms of her relationship, but I have seen a definite improvement and quality of joy and just the whole assurance that I have in this relationship this time around and that comfort level and that safe place that I've talked about earlier. Like, it's just, I can't even describe it. Words can't even describe how different this is compared to any other relationship I've had. But I can attribute that to my growth and my development in Christ. For me, I am a Christian. So for me personally, I can say that as far as my growth and my development in Him, that's how I've been able to grow in a relationship and I've been able to evolve. But again, at the end of the day, everyone has their different ideas, their different perspectives, and we have to respect those differences in people. But when it comes to your relationship, only you can lay the framework. Only you can say, okay, this is what I want, this is what I expect, this is what I'm comfortable with, this is what I can deal with. And in terms of the entire conversation we've had tonight, we've talked about flaws and all. We've talked about honesty and being very honest in relationship, not only with your mate but also with yourself. And we've talked about spirituality. And at the end of the day, through this entire conversation, the one key message we've heard is, and you guys can tell me if I'm wrong, has been know thyself. Know who you are and know what you expect. Know what you're worth. Know what you're willing to give and what you're willing to receive. As long as you know who you are, you're more than capable of having a successful and healthy relationship as well as marriage. But it's not going to come overnight. Many of us are going to have some bumps and hurdles, you know, along the way. We're going to have some knots on our foreheads along the way. But we learn, thank God, that every day you get a new opportunity to improve over the previous day. In terms of your relationship, you get an opportunity to improve over the previous relationship. And as Sabrina said, if it's month over month, week over week, day after day, whatever it is, you have an opportunity to improve and build upon what you have. So, you know, I thank all of you women for being on the show. Like I said, we didn't even get halfway through our list. We have so many more topics to discuss. So I would like to ask all of you here, I'm going to ask for your commitment that you guys would be willing to come back next month, which will be 2011, January of 2011, for us to have another discussion. I think it would be great for us to have another Girl Talk for the New Year's. What do you guys think?
Yes,
works for me.
Yeah, we got to talk about some spicy stuff because that's important too now.
Okay,
for real, ladies, don't be shy.
Ayo, do you have anything you want to share before we go off the air, Ayo, because we're coming up to the end of the hour?
I see here. I just want to say thanks for everyone tuning in. This is our last relationship show of 2010. Guys, and like Stacey said, at the end of the day, know thyself. You have got to find out who you are. And if you're in a relationship and you guys have been at it for a while, realizing that it's a continuously ever-changing, we're growing, we're evolving. And if you guys aren't growing together, you're going to have to sit down and readjust. And another thing, guys, for a successful relationship is you got to be ready to keep falling in love with who that person is. Because my husband, who he is now, is not who he was 5 years ago, and I have to continuously fall in love with him over and over again. So that's all I have to say. Thanks for joining us, ladies. It was awesome. Mind shift, baby. Let's eat it.
Yes, so thank you all, Pam, Deidre, Sabrina, Danielle, and Missy. It was a pleasure. For those of you that have joined us via the chat room, we thank you for your support. Great conversation. You guys had me laughing over there in the chat room, but some really great stuff was being shared there. And also to all of you that are listening online or that have called in as well, we really appreciate your support. We encourage you to share this information and the show information with those that you know may be interested, whether about relationship. We cover everything on Mindshift Talk Radio. Again, at the end of the day, it is about having a healthy perspective on different topics, and we talk about real issues affecting real people every single day. So we thank you guys. We encourage you to be here next week. You do not want to miss the show. We're going to have a phenomenal guest speaker, and our motivational minister and brother, Billy Miller, will be back as well joining us. So thank you all for listening. We will speak with you guys next week, 10 p.m. Eastern. Be blessed. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Mindshift Radio.